Yo, yo, number 84. Welcome in, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Hippies and Cowboys podcast. My name is Garrett McKee. I, of course, am one of your hosts. Joining us in a few minutes is your co-host, Mike Hart. We're bringing you the best of the country music world like nobody else will tell it. And as always, we are brought to you today by Workman's Relief CBD. Head to workmansrelief.com and check out the most affordable, high-quality CBD products on the market and learn more about what CBD can do for you. They got a little something for everybody, something for the hippies, something for the cowboys, you name it. They got it. And after you fill up your cart at checkout, you can save 15% off of your entire order if you use our promo code, and that one is HACCBD. For 15% off your entire order. And when you're done with that, you can go to thehippiesandcowboys.com and check out what we got available there. We got some new t-shirt and new merch designs coming in right away, but we already got some badass stuff up there, so go and check all of that out. Show us some support and get some sweet gear in return. And if you'd like to have the opportunity to ask questions to our guests, find out about everything that we got going on early, engage in conversations with us, and just get the inside scoop. You can go subscribe to our Patreon for as little as $1. That's less than most things. That's not very much money. I mean, obviously you can donate as much as you would like per month, and we really appreciate anything that you guys are willing to give, but you can join for as little as $1. So go ahead and do that and get some cool opportunities and some inside information as well. Our guests today on the podcast are Arthur Hancock, Chris Schaus, and Aaron Biebelhauser. And they, of course, are in the Bluegrass Supergroup, Wolf Pen Branch. Katie Penn and Roddy Puckett were not able to make it onto the podcast today, but those, of course, are the other two members of the band. And as of today, if you're listening to this episode on the day that it was released, Wolf Pen Branch just dropped their debut single titled Don't Have a Clue. You'll hear that one a little later on in the episode. But let's get after it, I guess. Thanks so much for tuning into the show, and enjoy.
All right, well, we are joined today on the podcast by three members, so far anyways, of the new bluegrass band, Wolf Pen Branch. And I guess it's probably just smartest if you guys go around and introduce yourselves individually rather than me doing it, because then everybody will at least know what your voice sounds like and they can, you know, map that out while they listen. So
I guess I'll go first. I'm Chris Schaus. I have the most Kentucky accent of the group. I play mandolin and sing in the band Wolf Pen Branch.
Yeah, man. Aaron Biebelhauser here. I'm coming from Louisville, Kentucky here. I play banjo in the band and have the least accent of Kentucky accent in the band, maybe. I don't know.
And my name's Arthur Hancock. Glad to be back on the show, and thanks for having the band. And hopefully we don't have to talk about Louisville basketball.
Wow.
Let's not go there now.
I don't want to talk about Iowa basketball, so I'm good with that. Yeah.
I think it's important that we mapped out who's got the thickest Kentucky accents, yeah, too, for sure. That was an important detail. Arthur missed out on that. I don't know where you put yourself that spectrum.
He's
there,
like, but in the Goldilocks zone, you know. He's in Frankfort, halfway between Louisville and Lexington. So.
Oh, okay. Mm. Gotcha.
That felt like the movie Hot Rod. I don't know if you all are familiar with that, but anybody listening is either, where they go around introducing themselves and they're like, "Hi, my name's Rod, and I like to party." And then, like, "My name's Chris Schaus, and I like to party," you know?
Right. Yeah, but Katie's not here. So if Katie was here, she would sound like the girl from Ozarks. She'd be like, "I'm Katie Penn."
Oh, wow. That's a good impression.
So it'd be pretty good. I mean, you're in stiff competition there, Chris.
I did have a job interview one time. When I got finished, the guy said, Can you just say, all right, all right, all right? Which I got the job, so I guess it was,
good at that point. That's funny. That's funny. Well, welcome in, guys. Yeah. I'm glad that you settled on a name for the band. I know last time we talked to Arthur, we were still rolling with Shouscock. But I like the flow of Wolfpen Branch a little bit better. Not that there's anything wrong with Shouscock, but I like where we landed.
Well, last weekend we sold a lot more Shouscock t-shirts than actual Wolfpen Branch shirts. It was kind of bad.
Maybe yeah, we need to keep that branding in our merch for sure. Right. You know, it's like sell some beer koozies or something. You know what? What real artists do these days? You know,
right?
Right. Of course.
I don't think you ever underestimate the word cock on a t-shirt and its ability to sell.
Yeah. Those
give the people,
sense
give the people what they want.
Yeah. Aaron gets it.
Makes sense that those ones sold out, though, because they're going to be worth a lot of money someday once everybody realizes that was the original t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Collector's items.
Yeah.
I think one of our buddies up here, I think it was Trevor, one of our buddies here in Iowa, he got a Shouscock t-shirt. Like, it came in the day you guys settled on the new band name. I was like, come on. Perfect timing.
No, definitely. So yeah, thanks for rejoining the podcast, Arthur, for your second trip around here. Hope it wasn't too stressful the first time, obviously. But you kind of shared a little bit, I guess, the first time you came on the show, just about how this was all kind of coming together. But I guess, I don't know, this whole time I'm going to have to kind of fire a question and let all you kind of take turns on it, I suppose. But I guess what changed? We talked to you in late January. So even since then, what was kind of the timeline like as far as all you guys coming together and deciding on the name and whatnot? Just to give everybody, I guess, a bit of a timeline that led up to where we are now, releasing this first single.
Yeah, well, I'm going to look back in my calendar here and see when did we do that episode. I can't even remember.
It was like after New Year's, dude, because I called you on
driving
January
back. 4th.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess between having a fun discussion about band names and chickens fighting on t-shirts and stuff, no one got the tennis ball, I guess, which was our award. We were going to give away a tennis ball signed by the Hippies and Cowboys podcast team. But we eventually played a live stream on the 26th of January in Irvine at the library. And that was the night we decided to call our band Wolfpen Branch. And so it's moved rather quickly since the 4th. But we were excited to record some music and get that going. And when did we record, Chris? I can't even remember now.
December?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm looking back. But yeah, we've got the songs to release, and we're really glad to be on the Hippies and Cowboys podcast premiering potentially this song. Nice. Don't Have a Clue, written by Chris. And we played a number of, it's been cool, you know, since January to see things kind of relaxing a little bit and people finding their way in live music since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. This band, I'll let the other guys talk about that, you know, more than me, but this band is kind of a pandemic band. And so we're seeing like the end of that, hopefully, and people are getting vaccinated and we'll see what happens. Yeah. But we've got this song, which we're super psyched about. So,
yeah, it's been very exciting. We've got really good response from the band and getting really good response from the song as well. What's funny about the song title is that somebody said, well, what's your first release? And we said, Don't Have a Clue. We're like, okay, well, maybe you should figure that out. So the
who's on first thing, right?
Kind of, exactly. I think that was the same analogy that, that we used.
Yeah,
being in the band with these people are great, and it's very inspiring. So we're very excited to share with everyone what we've been working on collectively as a group. And we hope to continue to share more songs and continue to do more shows. We're hoping that the vaccinations will continue to roll out and shows will continue to open up for us and kind of get back to some sense of normalcy, because Lord knows we all need it.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Just looking back at my notes here, it looks like we recorded these tracks in mid-January. So it has been a real whirlwind thing since last time you guys talked. We hadn't gotten in the studio yet, and we've even written some new songs and started performing them since then. So
it's a pretty quick turnaround.
It's been fun. Wow. Fun to get.
I was gonna say December didn't sound right. I felt like there wasn't anything recorded quite yet when we had talked. It was still we're still waiting on the name part.
I think it's January 17th. This was that weekend that when we recorded at Ricky Wasson's studio in Eastern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we'd had it scheduled a couple of days, a couple of other times, but we've had to cancel those because of people testing COVID positive or COVID related things. So I think it was our third time's a charm for recording.
Third time's a charm.
How many, how many tracks did you guys record when you went in? Just the first single, or did you get a couple?
We got three songs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We did three songs in really just one day, but we were well rehearsed and they're all new original songs. Fun.
Nice. And so Chris wrote the Don't Have a Clue. Did anybody else write the other ones, or was it mostly Chris, or how does that dynamic go, with the getting more people in the band? And I guess, do we all chime in on the songwriting, or how does that process end up looking like?
Yeah, we got multiple writers in the band for sure. Arthur wrote one of those singles that we got in the can with his cousin. And then, I've written some tunes the band does, and everybody kind of jumps in on their own singing, and it's a real powerful thing. It's nice to be able to rely on each other and lift each other up whenever it's Chris's turn to sing, and we're all paddling the boat and he's steering the ship, and vice versa. It feels good.
Sweet.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that was definitely something I would have liked to talk about. So I'm glad we're kind of getting here. Is all of you guys have been members, of such great bluegrass bands, and then they even put out solo stuff on your own, a few of you. It's kind of like, it kind of looks like an all-star team just like kind of coming together, but it's like, was it ever strange collaborating, or did everyone have kind of the same input that they would have with those other bands, or how did that all, how does that work amongst you guys when you've all got such, great catalogs of your own kind of coming together?
Well, it's all really natural to us. I mean, I think I've only have probably two songs that the band actually performs, and those are the first two songs that we've recorded. So, it is very natural, the fact that we just kind of choose the songs that we want to do and not the writer. So we're not doing a round robin kind of writing. It's just kind of the songs that we think are the best in the order that we think that they're the best in. Because we've all kind of been in bands before, and it's a team effort. There's some sort of a synergy about this band that makes it, that we're very easily, we get along really easy about things and make decisions very easy. And even with these songs, it's all became very natural and kind of, second nature.
I think a lot of that synergy that Chris is talking about has to do with, the fact that we've each kind of led our own bands for, for a substantial amount of time, a decade or so, really. I mean, fronting our own groups and like kind of doing all the heavy lifting for each of our own individual groups. So now it feels like, dang on, it doesn't feel so bad if we delegate out some of these duties of running a band and one person handles this and another person handles that. We've got a management team too, which is incredible. But part of that synergy comes with the fact that we're not all like we're all the majority of us of the five of us are in our 30s and not in our 20s and not like too young and dumb and like full of, you know, egos and like, I don't know. We got pretty strong personalities in the band, but it is, there's plenty of room for it all. It feels like nobody really wants to work so hard that we're getting in our own way. You know, it's right. Fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And I think of it like this, you think of like a great TV show where that characters are defined, where that you have each character kind of has a certain characteristics. And this band is like that. It's, you know, I have my own style of singing and Arthur has his own style and so does Aaron. So like we kind of all work together to kind of create this blend of all those different styles. Sometimes I think in music we get lost with just cookie cutter vocals and a certain sound, but you know, I think each of us kind of have our own distinct personality when it comes to vocal performances and even instrumentation.
Sure. Yeah.
That makes it really, really neat. Just like a great TV show. Like one of my favorite TV shows is The Office. You have, yeah. You know, without Dwight or without, you know, Jim, you know, you wouldn't have such a great TV show.
Without those two, Michael wouldn't be as funny either.
Exactly. So it's like a team effort. You got those, you know.
I was going to ask what TV show you guys were most like. So if it's The Office, I guess, I mean, let's see. Do you guys have like a Kevin? Who's the Kevin? You know, who's dropping the pots of chili?
Arthur's Creed. He's the weird one.
Oh, okay.
Eating those weird nuts and pee things in his.
Yeah, they smell room. Really bad.
Being the banjo guy, I guess I have to be Andy, right?
You would have
to be Andy. Yeah, naturally. Yeah.
I don't know.
Katie would be Kelly Kapoor, you know.
Oh, perfect.
Oh boy.
Yeah, like
oh man, you need a Todd Packer.
I don't know.
just get a merch guy that's just Todd Packer style.
Throwing t-shirts at people's faces.
On our van, we need to have William Hung as our license plate.
Yeah.
They're like a Corvette.
Yeah, definitely. it's funny, that's like, amazing. Hearing some of your guys' some of those live streams that you were doing, I guess, even before the first time that we talked, Arthur, when it was kind of more just you and Chris, like, they definitely had a really distinct sound that a lot of people I think were really excited for, even if it was just going to end up just the two of you guys. And it was a little more of obviously a different dynamic being kind of a more of a duo type thing. It's obviously a little bit different than what we're hearing now with the new single and even some of the shows and the live streams that you guys have done as a full band now as Wolfpen Branch. Definitely a little more like jammy almost, it seems like, which I mean obviously in my mind probably comes natural just from having more players and more improvisation and more input, kind of like you guys talked about. So I don't know if you guys want to kind of comment a bit more, kind of already did, but comment a bit more just as on I guess that development and that kind of change as more of you guys have been added to the band, obviously.
I think each member that we added a new dynamic to the band. Obviously, Roddy was the first one to kind of help Arthur and I with some performing, having that bass. But then Katie and then Aaron, I guess, was the last to enter the band. But with each one of these, it brings a new style. So that style that I play or that I sing changes a little bit too. I get excited when I play and I sing hard and I try to dance around. I try to be, you know, really have fun with it. And then when the band is so driving, like what it is now, it makes it much easier. So when I do that, I sing, I guess I'm a bit more aggressive with my singing and with my playing. Whereas, maybe without this band, I wouldn't be. I know at home when I sit and practice my mandolin, you know, I think I'm doing really good because I'm just, you know, I'm playing real soft and easy. And then when I get in the band on stage, everybody's playing so hard. I'm just like thrashing, you know, because I'm so excited. But that does kind of change, you know, the dynamics of the band, which makes it for the good, mm-hmm. because you take one person out and you add a different person, it's going to change the makeup of the band, both physically, obviously, but also like musically, because the way that they play, you kind of feed off that as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you talked about, you know, you like dancing around, you like feeling the energy of the band. I guess as live music's coming back, you're going to get more shows with this band. Are you starting to develop, would you say, like a signature dance move on stage, like a leg kick or something like that? One where people are going to be like, oh yeah, there's the Chalice kick or something like that, you know?
Well, see, at my age, because I'm not the oldest member, but I'm next to oldest, I probably can't do the Chalice moves that I could do 10 years ago, like the big Sammy Hagar kick or David Lee Roth kick. I can't remember which one of those guys are. Mine would kind of be more of like probably a falling down.
Oh, nice. Hey, that's not a bad move there. It's like, you know, you can coin it, own it, and people will know that's just your signature, you know.
Yeah, see, like in bluegrass, when you're jamming, you throw your leg up to indicate that the song is ending. So years ago, I played a show and someone come watch me play, and it was, you know, not a rehearsed band, so I was throwing my leg up a lot to indicate that the song was ending. And when the show was finished, they were like, you were so funny. Like, you were kicking around on stage the whole entire time you were playing. It's like, what? What are you talking about? Then I realized it was just that indication move. So that could be the Chalice kick, I guess.
Yeah, the Chalice kick. The Chalice kick or the Hancock slap, you know what I mean?
The Hancock slap. That's a t-shirt.
Beeblecock.
There you go.
Oh boy.
Npuck Shouse Beeblecock.
Gee.
.com.
Hashtag. Hashtag. Definitely. new Instagram handle.
Yeah.
There you go. We're just full of good ideas for you guys.
Yeah.
We should work off commission, it's really.
Aaron, like, is there anything, I guess you specifically would have to add to that, as far as, you know, obviously Chris kind of commented there.
Sure.
The development of that sound, like adding each person.
Yeah. So I've been
in there as like, they were already kind of Hancock and Chess, you coming in there kind of almost after the fact, like what were your kind of feelings and, you know?
Yeah, I've been a fan of both of these guys individually for a long time and friends with both of them for a long time. So it was just, it's nice. I mean, I followed when Chris was fronting the 23 string band for years. I was, you know, a fan of that band and played them on my little radio show here in Louisville. And, mm-hmm. and actually we shared a band member with, I played in a band with one of the guys that was in his band. And then Arthur and I worked together with the Wooks a few years back and have sung together since then and tried to like maintain that friendship and relationship. So it's cool to just jump right in. It feels really good to play with people that I respect and care about. And we all kind of have, you know, the thing that we do best that kind of we can all have a moment to shine within the set of music. And it's fun. I feel good about it. I feel like what I brought into the fold as far as like filling out that trio harmony, like the backing vocal thing that we have is really solid. We got three of the kind of biggest, loudest, most obnoxious singers in the whole state of Kentucky all in one band. And we got, you know, Katie Penn and Roddy both sing too. And so we got some really strong voices. And like Chris said, lots of different styles of singing too. But for me, jumping in there, as far as the difference between a duo and me jumping in there, I feel like filling out that third part harmony is a big deal, almost probably as much a big deal as the banjo part is, but it's a different role for me because I'm used to being the, you know, the high harmony singer or the lead singer or whatever. And it's kind of fun to jump in there and sing that part. It's, you know, it makes it a really rich vocal blend when you got three big singers that can blend well in a big microphone too, usually.
Yeah. You guys have used the word fun a lot to describe kind of all these different styles and people coming together. So, you can hear it in the songs too, I just have heard this first one here, but you can hear it. It sounds like you guys are going to be a fun band. And if you can hear it in the music and that's how you guys are, man, I'm pretty pumped up to see, first off, someday catch you in person on a show, but just to see the reaction from other people and see if they can peg that out too, because I'm betting that they will. I don't know if we need to like go back through and add a ding sound every time somebody has said fun. I bet. Add it to the video. I don't know, but yeah.
Well, what might be a good idea here now is to let everybody hear that new single that's going to drop April 2nd. I don't know when you people out there listening to this will be listening to this episode, but anyway, it's out April 2nd, regardless. I don't know you guys like take turns talking about it or somebody jump in and I don't know, go ahead and introduce the song and tell us kind of how it all shook out.
Chris should probably tell us about it because he's the one that wrote it and he's doing the great majority of the singing on that one.
There you go.
Yeah, so Don't Have a Clue was written a few years ago, and it's a great song that is about redemption, I feel like. That it's a song about, you know, today may not be your day, but it may be your day, too. So it's kind of like having this positive attitude, this rebirth and rejuvenation of things being difficult or admitting that you have some flaws. Like the first line is, I have a head like a stone, which is like, I'm hard-headed about things, or have a heart like a stone. So all these things, you know, these trials and tribulations that you go through in life, and then you want that rebirth and you want that resurrection of those things. And that's kind of the feeling that I get from the song. But to each person, the song can mean something different. You know, I'm a melodic writer, so I try to write things based on the melody more so than too much in depth about it. So yeah, it always makes me smile, and I'm very humbled that we would choose this song as the first single from this band, because it's a great honor to have that title.
I got a head like a stone, I'm telling you, man, I gotta let that go. Gonna let it flow down to the Gulf of Mexico. You see the forest for the trees, can feel the wind for the breeze, can hear you sorry for your pleasing, and so it goes. Oh, she's got me by a string, she says she likes to hear me sing. I'm gonna buy her a diamond ring and this life will go on. I've been stuck out here for days, and man, we need to get away and take it back to the good old days when this life was so good. I don't have a clue, I've been lost a time or two. I don't know my way, but who's to say be the day. Oh, I've got a heart like a stone, I'm telling you, man, I gotta let that go. It gets in the way of love from growing old, and it reminds me of a song been in my head too strong. Well, I want you to sing along at the end of the day. Thank you. like a stone, I'm telling you. I don't have a clue. I've been lost a time or two. I don't know my way, but who's to say that today might be the day?
Don't have a clue, the Wolf Pen Branch. That is maybe, I'm not sure yet, your first time. Oh, Arthur has a duck. That is maybe your first time hearing that song. I'm not sure at the moment of sitting here recording whether or not we will be hearing it or what. It might be available now. We'll see. I don't know. Go listen to it. Go pre-save it if you can find it on your streaming services, or go listen to it right now. But anyway. That's the first single from Wolf Pen Branch. Arthur had a dog. It's gone now. That's what it kind of distracted me.
We're ADHD on this podcast. We're pro ADHD. So there's a squirrel or a dog. Yeah, it must be addressed.
Animals do.
Or a cat. Oftentimes cat podcasts
find their
are good.
Way. Yeah. Cats and dogs oftentimes find their way into these podcasts at some point. It happens more than you might think.
Be like a cat all of a sudden crawling on the curtains behind somebody. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I
want to bring this up from, because Arthur, you were involved with that school of music that we had talked about that before. Somebody from our Patreon had asked, Mark had asked, if we ever got in touch with my school about that, and I totally forgot about it. So,
oh,
Canday.
Yes. I forgot how to pronounce it, but yes. I had a, yeah. So Marcus brought that up on our Patreon here. For the record, everybody listening, go subscribe to our Patreon for as little as $1. $1. You can get onto our Patreon. You can donate anything else more than that you want, but $1 gets you in to join conversations on the podcast. But I totally forgot about that. So I had to read it because it has my name in the question, but it's like, did Mike's school ever reach out about that? And I totally forgot. So, but for those who haven't listened to the, what's that?
You should talk to Chris about it. Chris is also an educator and a proud Canday Tunes ambassador.
Well, we got the right people.
Canday donated. I teach music to an intermediate school, to third, fourth, and fifth graders. And several years ago, Canday donated several thousand dollars of instruments for my bluegrass unit that I teach every year. I included a couple of guitars, fiddles, banjos, a couple of ukulele basses, some mandolins. And so every kid in that school, even actually, today I taught I gave every kid a short guitar lesson. So I gave like over 100 guitar lessons today while I was at school. But those kids will also get the opportunity to even hold a fiddle or a violin. I mean, I just think that exposure is so important to people when it comes to music. Like, hey, this is a fiddle. This is kind of how you play it. Here you go. Here's a few minutes. Just, you're not going to hurt it.
Good luck.
Yeah. And I'll see it in about 10 years when you master it. But no, I mean, the kids really, they do really enjoy it. And it's kind of amazing how some kids kind of have a natural ability to play music. So today, for example, some of the kids, I was showing them like a chord and we did like a simple melody, like Happy Birthday, but some kids pick up on it really quick and they automatically hold their hands in the right place. And their wrist is loose and they're strumming without having any formal training. And then other kids, they struggle a bit more, but it's exciting to see a kid want to go buy an instrument after having just a 15-minute lesson from their music class in their elementary school. And that goes for all the instruments as well, the banjo. And I've had a lot of kids interested in fiddles and of course guitars. So it's very great that Canday does this for schools, that they provide this opportunity to kids that many people did not, when I was at elementary school, we did not get to play banjos and fiddles
no.
and things like that. We get to listen to a music teacher sing songs, but you know, it is great. I know Candate also does a lot of things with bicycles and other needs that children may have, skateboards and the like, but it's a very great foundation out of Colorado. Yeah.
That's
so they're a nonprofit of the Oscar Brews brewery, I think. Is that correct, Arthur?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I just, that one of the reasons I wanted to bring that up too, is for those listening to this podcast that maybe didn't listen to the one with Arthur, that's just such a cool organization to shout out to. So I'm glad you're able to talk about that too, because that's just awesome. But
yeah, like you said, that exposure is,
yeah,
like it that's so cool to see. I'd imagine, just to, like you said, see how quickly they pick up on it, and then it's really something that I'm sure a lot of them would have never even thought of, you know, if they never had that chance to, you know, hold the thing, like you said, in their hands and give it a try without any worries, you know.
And it's great to see that when you donate money to a foundation, that this stuff is being used, like even in your community. So I've donated to Candate before, even though I'm a Tunes ambassador and a recipient, you know, I still donate money, and things are, you know, we raise money for them the best that we can. And that money goes directly back into schools to help kids. So it's a wonderful, wonderful program.
Yeah. I'll post a link to the website in the description of this podcast for anybody interested in finding out more. You can go and click on that, because I will find it and put it in the description.
And obviously, like, Candate's not a sponsor or anything like that. They're just a really cool organization that we're throwing out there right now. So check it out.
I wanted to ask you guys, I'm sure all of you might have different answers for this, or somebody might want to take it, but you talked a little bit earlier about kind of you guys are all able to kind of take turns taking a moment to shine almost, you know, throughout your shows and whatnot. I guess my question is, how do you guys go about putting together, do you put together a set list? Do you kind of just kind of ride the moment and decide at the time whose turn it is or whatnot? Or does, like you said, that, you know, almost giving everybody a chance to kind of show, take a moment for themselves almost, I guess, if that's what you guys are kind of saying earlier, like, how do you guys go about deciding that type of thing when there's all of you are so talented in your own rights and have all been leaders in other bands before?
Well, I don't think we necessarily take turns. I think it's just, we look at the song as a whole. I mean, we want everybody to participate that wants to, but we just look at the whole entire song and not just on who's singing it. We don't go in order from Aaron, Arthur, Chris, Roddy, Katie. You know, we don't do that. We kind of do, you know, however we feel like it's going to be the best. You know, in our shows, we want to kind of have, you know, some upward and some downward momentum going. Of course, we want to end on a high note, so we try to choose that. And we listen to our management team too about songs to, you know, to end with, but we want to put those in like small groups that we think blend well with each other, or we like to even transition from one song straight into another song without, you know, any kind of stop in between, to kind of help create this lineage throughout the set list.
Yeah, I think it is less about taking turns and more like, I think what I meant when I said that earlier was, it was more like the whatever qualities as a musical or creative person each of us have to bring to the table, you know, those are all, you know, I think absorbed into the whole of the band throughout the set. So it feels good. I mean, that's what feels so natural about it is, yeah, we don't have to go out of our way to be like, well, you know, so-and-so sang three in a row, now we got to figure out, but it does, there is a natural flow of things to kind of point and counterpoint to do that, you know, and change it up. So if we're going to, in the same way you would pick a song in a different key to do one after the other, you know, to try to transition, or maybe a ballad, a slower song, a faster song, like to dynamically change within the group, we can also kind of scatter in everybody's individual talents. You know, obviously if Roddy steps up to the mic to sing one of his tunes, it's a nice change of pace from one of the, you know, more higher energy singers in the group, and it always just feels really natural to me. We do generally follow a set list, but it's just because I think we want to be intentional about what we're doing, you know.
And even like instrumentally, we try to be somewhat orchestrated about playing. You know, in bluegrass, we have a tendency to kick the song off and everybody plays as hard as they can until the end of the song. But in some of these songs, like I'm not really playing anything until halfway through the song, you know, so it's, you know, I'm not doing everything for myself. I'm trying to do things that's best for the band, because it's like a team aspect. Yeah. And not so much like, oh, it's Chris's turn to sing, so I'm going to, you know, take two mandolin breaks and, you know, I'm going to, it's not like that, because some songs don't even take any solos on, you know, because I know my role. My role is to, you know, keep a rhythm and sing when it's my turn to sing and try to have fun. Yeah.
There is a dynamic of playing in a band, though, that is, you know, it is a big, you know, there's a big supportive thing going on whenever, you know, we're not just there to, like, you know, blow off our own individual steam. We're there to support each other. So when, you know, Katie's, you know, incredibly, you know, she's probably nearest to virtuoso level playing as any of us in the band. She's a great fiddler. And when it's her turn to shine, you know, we're doing all we can to lay the groundwork underneath that foundation, underneath that sonically, you know, to support that. It's pretty fun. Yeah. Fun. Ding.
Oh, it doesn't ting. There you go. My next question here is kind of for Aaron, because I don't know of many musicians that are also radio show hosts, I guess, or I don't think I've ever talked to them, but I guess what is hosting, like, how has hosting a radio show kind of affected you as a musician? And also, is there a way that you can listen to your station online? Like, I could listen to it in Iowa, because we got terrible radio stations up here.
So I'd love to tune in sometime. Yeah, if you want to listen to terrible radio here, you can tune into my show anytime you want. No, I'm just kidding. So I hosted a 3-hour radio program on WFPK here in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's on locally here at 91.9 FM, but it's on their website and on the Louisville Public Media app, WFPK.org. You can tune in anywhere in the world, and it's on Sundays from 6 p.m. Eastern to 9, and then I think the show's even archived for a couple weeks, where you can tune in, like, if you're working and you want to listen to the bluegrass show or something for a few hours, then you can tune in through the week or whatever. But it's the show's called Bluegrass Evolution, and I think, you know, the title kind of reflects my take, my perspective on what bluegrass music should be or is or whatever. You know, it should always be constantly you know, reinventing itself and ever evolving genre, you know. And I think it's cool because Wolfpin Branch, we're part of that evolution, because we're right here where bluegrass music started in Kentucky, but we're all adding our own elements of individual songwriting and you know, groove that's slightly different than anything that Bill Monroe and his bluegrass boys would have done, you know, but certainly, you know, drawing off of those same principles and working roughly with the framework that exists, that you would use to describe bluegrass. But so, yeah, as far as how being a broadcaster affects my musicianship, I guess it probably allows me to, like, vamp and chat and talk a little bit about stuff, but I don't really do that too much on stage, especially with this band. You know, it does allow you that, but I think more than anything, it makes you a good listener, because I spend a lot of time listening to music, because I get a lot of new music in and I have to decide. I've got, you know, 50, 60, 70 years of music that I can pick from to play. So if I'm going to throw in new music, you better be able to hang with the stuff that's 50, 60 years old that I'm going to be playing too. So I don't know. It, helps me listen to new music, kind of get my finger on the pulse of everything that's going on in our industry too.
Right.
My question, Aaron, is, are you going to be spinning Don't Have a Clue by Wolfpin Branch?
Right.
I'm sorry. I won't be playing it. I have an ethical thing where I know some people in the radio business that will play their own stuff. And you know, I will play. I could possibly play it if somebody emails in and requests it while I'm in the studio live. I would do it. But I'm not in the studio live because of COVID. So. That's not going to happen for a while.
Dang.
But
I was going to say, what's the contact? I'll do it.
I'll email you right now, Aaron.
I do recommend anybody wants to chime in and email at bluegrass@wfpk.org. But
burner email accounts.
I won't play anything that I played on. Well, I won't play anything that I played on or even a song that I wrote for somebody else to do. Like, Del McCurry recorded one of my songs and Balsam Range recorded my song. I don't play those songs on my radio show either. I'll play other music from those artists, but I won't play songs that I wrote or that I recorded. I'm not that guy. Right. Plus there's a guy before me that runs an Americana three-hour format show, and he'll play my stuff. He'll play Don't Have a Clue. So we'll make sure he plays it. And his show's got a bigger audience anyway, because it's not bluegrass. You know,
it's not in a box.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Well, I think I might sneak in one of these Patreon questions here. Wait. Yes.
And then casual fires.
Casual fires. Yeah. Let me just read these again. Why don't we start with rapid fires, and then that way, when you're asking the first one, Mike, I'll
all right, yeah, that
decide
works.
I'll decide on one of these Patreon questions.
So I don't know if you've been briefed on our rapid fire.
Not
section.
Even a little bit.
We just asked some silly questions.
Arthur's
if there's any
it.
New listeners out there that don't know, we asked some silly questions. We call them rapid fires. But the reason I said casual fires is because they're a lot more casual than rapid, especially with three guests. I guess you'll just take turn answering them. We'll see how it works. It gets a little hairy. So, but we'll do our best and we'll make it fun. Dang, that class is terrible at dinging. I always think it's going to ding. Okay. So my first one is, what is the biggest animal that you think you could beat in a fight? And whoever wants to start.
I think it's Arthur's turn.
Cow.
You say a cow?
Cow.
Yeah.
It's a big animal. It's a very big animal.
Cow? Like just, I mean.
He's got to put that Hancock slap on it. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Well, I just don't think, like, I've battled horses, like, a lot. And if they really want to hurt you, and you have, like, zero, like, leather or chain in their mouth or anything, like, a horse is going to kick your ass. A deer is going to kick your ass. You know, I know this is rapid fire, so keep going. But a cow, you can get them by the ears and, like, just hold on, you know?
I'm going to trust you on it. But
I don't know, man.
I'm skeptical. Like,
I'm skeptical.
It's a big fucking animal.
I'm skeptical too.
When you said the largest animal you think you could whoop, I would be like a Yorkie, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. They get a little nippy.
I was thinking of something small, like a squirrel, but they're so fast and so small, like you could never control it.
Never get a hold of them.
No. Maybe like a turtle.
A turtle.
All right.
You can probably take a turtle.
Rapid fire.
Yeah, very rapid. All right. You guys all have to sing karaoke. You don't get an option to not sing karaoke. What's the one karaoke song that you are going to perform to a full venue full of people if you'd if you had to?
A venue.
I have never
like
sang karaoke in my life.
Really? Interesting.
Never.
Well, what would you start with?
I don't know, a Billy Joel song.
Bring a harmonica up there and do Piano Man.
No.
I was thinking about I may be wrong, but you may be right. Whatever that Billy Joel song is.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I think I'd pick that one hit wonder song. Don't pull your love out on me, baby. If you do that, I think that maybe, you know, that one. That's what I would probably do.
There you go.
Right for 100 years.
Just do it.
I know
right
what
now,
Arthur would do. Arthur would do, I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
That's not karaoke. Yeah.
I actually do Sammy Kershaw, Queen of My Double Wide Trailer. That's my go-to.
Hey, man.
There you
Queen
go.
Of My Double Wide Trailer. Holly is the curse. Oh, yeah.
My go-to is Shoop by Salt and Peppa.
There you go.
I know I'm not supposed to be participating in these rapid fires, but I have to throw that one out there. You know?
Hey, yeah, I want to shoot, baby.
Yeah. Oh, man. Gets the people going, I tell you.
All right.
And you don't need any musical ability to sing that one. Let's see. Let's do if you could only eat at one fast food chain for every meal for the rest of your life. What fast food chain would that be? There's no right answers.
I can't do it.
Does Qdoba count as fast food? I do like Qdoba.
Yes.
It's just not really. Okay. Yeah. Let's do Qdoba.
There you go. I might be able to get down on some Jimmy John's. I don't know.
That's fresher. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a place in Frankfurt called Thai Smile, and if you order it, it'll be on your door in like 10 minutes. So
that's pretty fast.
That's fast food for home ordering, and I would eat it for the rest of my life.
Interesting. Garrett, what would you do?
If I had to eat just one forever,
yeah.
Probably like Oh, Popeyes. I think I'd use Popeyes.
There you go. Spicy chicken sandwich, man. Yeah.
Popeyes is pretty good.
See, like I'd say, like obviously everyone knows Chick-fil-A is better than Popeyes.
Yeah, but I'm a Chick-fil-A rookie, dude. I was gonna say Chick-fil-A, but I've only eaten there one time.
But you can't do something that's only chicken though.
Well, that's what I was first trying to think of, like something that was kind of diverse, but
yeah, it's gotta have.
It's not gonna be McDonald's, dude. So,
yeah,
yeah.
I don't know.
There's just no.
Yeah, I bet nobody ever says Whitey's, right?
Whitey's ice cream.
White Castle.
Oh, White Castle. Oh, that's
like nobody ever says. Nobody ever says that when you ask that question.
I've never asked that
every day. Every day.
Yeah.
Like the fourth day, I'd be like doubled over, man.
I don't like White Castle the first day of eating it.
It's kind of like the Super Size Me documentary, you know, about McDonald's. Right? The guy gets the mixed shakes and it's crazy.
I'm trying to think like one that's kind of diverse where you could get a selection of lots of different stuff, but I don't know if that exists in fast food.
Yeah.
Not really. Qdoba is probably a good answer.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Medium fast food.
All right, you guys get to have dinner with one historical figure. Who are you going to have dinner with, and what are you guys going to have?
Abraham Lincoln.
What are you going to have?
Chili.
Chili. Nice. Where from?
Homemade.
You're gonna cook Abe some chili.
It was an oddly fast answer.
Yeah,
of a combination of chili and Abe Lincoln.
You've definitely thought of this about this before.
Yeah, he's waiting on that all night.
No. I thought the purpose of rapid fire was the first thing that comes to your head. This
yeah,
person,
right, yeah, to my... I like I, it. No, we're just the not true good spirit at of that. Rapid fire. I love it.
Yeah,
good.
You know, I just think I think about historical people that we have high thoughts of now, like Abraham Lincoln, what it was like back then. So, you know, to get to talk to somebody about like what it was really like, because at the time, like people could just walk up to the White House door, you know, and obviously being present during the Civil War and all that was be interesting to have that conversation.
Yeah,
definitely. I like that answer.
Aaron?
No, you're going first, buddy.
All right. I would do Simon Kenton, and I would eat like turkey stew, because that was kind of the, you know, main food stay there for a while in Central Kentucky during the early days. And Simon Kenton was kind of like Daniel Boone's badass friend who was very well respected by the, you know, the people on the frontier during the time of, you know, east westward expansion. So he did a lot of incredible things. I'd like to talk to him.
I'm glad you clarified that. I was currently Googling who Simon Kenton was. Like, I know Daniel Boone, but he lost me with the Kenton one. But
well, Simon Kenton like rescued Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone was tied up in this Indian camp, and Simon Kenton threw Daniel Boone over his shoulder and ran like six or eight miles. He outran a war pack of Shawnee with Daniel Boone on his back. He was 6'6", very talented outdoorsman.
Well, I guess he must have gained some weight by the time he got his portraits painted. He's looking a little thick in these. He's not carrying and running with anybody on it. I don't know if you guys can see.
Jesus.
That guy looks hardcore, man.
Absolutely.
He does. He looks like he'll punch a square in the forehead. He looks like he could take down a cow. I tell you.
Yeah, speaking of taking down cows.
You know, I think I'm going to go for some low-hanging fruit as far as historical figures go and say George Washington. But only because I want to see him eat like a steak sandwich or something with them wooden teeth, you know.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
I don't know.
Just pure entertainment fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
just to give him a hard food to chew with wooden teeth. That's you dick.
Oh man.
Not gonna ask any questions. Could you just gonna watch him chew that steak for 5 hours.
Could you imagine explaining your cell phone to one of those historical figures? Like, hey, again, I have this box that I can ask questions. There's no unanswered questions now. I mean, I can see people to talk to. You know, we're talking to people, you know, thousands of miles apart right now.
The world is here.
Yeah, it's insane.
Wild. We talked about it before. We're pretty confident you'd get burned at the stake for being a witch if you brought a phone back to those days.
Right.
Yeah. Most likely. Not impossible. I don't know. I think I'm gonna lump in one more of these just for simplicity's sake. This will also be a rapid fire, but this question comes from Thomas Little. And on our Patreon, shout out, like Mike said, to the Patreon, go subscribe to that. But his question, I'm going to paraphrase his question a little bit. And like I said, for simplicity's sake, he wants to know who your guys' main influences are. So like I said, for simplicity's sake, why don't each of you just go around, give us one major influence of yours that you can just name off the top of your head.
90s rock.
Nice.
Red Allen.
Nice. I'm going to be right there with Arthur. I was going to say the Osborne Brothers, just because they're that quintessential bluegrass meets country thing. You know, those guys, they were the first ones to throw drums in their band and bluegrass, you know, wise, and pedal steel and piano, all the stuff that I love to, like, you know, piss off a good bluegrass purist with, you know.
That's funny. We just talked to Miles Miller from Sturgill's band.
Yeah, he's great.
And he was talking about playing because, you know, he's the drummer. So getting invited on Sturgill's bluegrass projects. He's like, are you sure? Like drums on the bluegrass project, you know?
Yeah.
But that's cool.
It's a great record too. And he's done a killer job. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy task. Somebody to step in and be a drummer and hang in there with, you know, 5-6 bluegrass pickers and stay out of the way and, you yeah. know, toe that line.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Miles is great.
No kidding.
Just something for all of you guys, if you guys could all, you know, to kind of wrap things up here, what might be a good way to wrap it up is you guys are obviously, this is your first single as a band, I guess. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it a lot throughout the episode, but if you guys were to kind of quickly, if you could in short sum up what Wolfpen, what we can all expect from these three tunes and you guys all kind of going forward as far as like what your sound will be like and, you know, I guess that's because that's kind of what we were just talking about. What would you guys, what do you guys all individually kind of foresee going down?
Just want to continue to have fun. Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Where is it?
Yeah. All seriously, I mean, I'm having a great time with this band, getting to perform out and getting to play and getting to improve myself, you know, both vocally and on my instrument as well. But, It has really been a pleasure to get to play, and it's been a breath of fresh air because of all the responsibilities of singing. You got to think that, you know, we have 5 singers in this band, so it's nice that you don't have to go to a show and sing, you know, 95% of the songs by yourself for 2 hours. So that makes it really nice that the load is not there. You also have other people that you can lean on a lot. That makes it fun for me because I can actually just enjoy just playing. Oh, dig in.
I don't have a bell.
Sorry, that's obnoxious.
It's obnoxious, yeah, a little bit.
And I wasn't saying that on purpose. Like, I really am having fun.
No, I know.
You're going to break a glass.
Hey, you know, we do want to have a good time, but I also think that, you know, as far as my 2 cents on that question is, I think exploring how we can, you know, purvey our original songs to an audience and engage them. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, you want to be impactful on people that are supporters of what you're doing. Like, you want to do something that they like and something that moves them. So I think we're going to just, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're going to just keep exploring that, have a good time with it. And, you know, go from there and see where it leads us, because it's a lot of good momentum, good mojo, and lots of fun.
Arthur's just standing there ready, creeping up towards
so
the camera.
Ready. I'm just really grateful to get to play music at all, based on some experiences that I've had with some, you know, hand issues and stuff. So I'm just really, you know, I talked to Aaron on the phone earlier. I was like, man, I'm just really grateful to get to play, you know. And I think as long as we have fun as a band, which we have done so far, you know, we'll achieve whatever goals we have, because that's really the goal, is just having a good time. So it's I think if we can record music together as a unit, you know, as much as possible. So, you know, I'm not saying that we're going to have a record out, but that would be my number one goal, is to record more music with the band. And, you know, we're super pumped to just have started it out. And we are playing at the Burl in May, and that show sold out, which is real exciting. We got other opportunities coming with, you know, it's a lot of fun. And like, we're all kind of in our, you know, we're in our mid-30s. And older, you know, so it's like, we've been doing this for a minute, and we just really, you know, it's so fresh and it's so fun.
I guess maybe what I was trying to say, like, I need a dinger too.
don't think aluminum really works.
No, I don't think it's going to work. I'm just looking around. I don't really have anything to ding in here. Anyway, but I think what I was maybe more trying to spit out there, but I couldn't quite do it, was just, you know, kind of, I guess, like I said, the overall sound. Can people expect maybe more of a kind of that experimental, more like almost, I guess, what you'd call progressive or more modern kind of sounding bluegrass? Are you guys, like, how are you guys going to go approach kind of blending more of a traditional sound with each of your own, like you said, what each of you bring to the table, I suppose?
My two cents on it is that, like, we work roughly within that framework of, like, what can be described as bluegrass music, but we're also not, we're not necessarily going to go way out on a limb and have, like, a bunch of electric guitar or saxophone or anything on our record. We're probably not likely to do that. I'm not against it.
It'd be kind of cool, though.
Generally speaking, like, I'm involved in all kinds of music, but this band does kind of work within that framework, and it feels good to be able to, you know, be able to hang with some contemporary other artists that do this kind of music. So I think that's cool, but we also aren't afraid to set ourselves apart and play this new single's quite a bit groovier than like your average bluegrass song. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's got good vibes and, but it still fits we're playing all bluegrass instruments and we're singing that quintessential sort of bluegrass three-part harmony on the choruses, just like you would, you know, 40, 50 years ago on a bluegrass song, on a bluegrass recording. And we're still ganging around one microphone, even though we're all plugging in our instruments and kind of cheating in that regard live, but we still have that choreography of working around a microphone too. So yeah. I don't know. It's definitely a fine balance. The other guys might be able to chime in more on that. As far as I don't paint us as like a wildly progressive band, because we're not a jam band. We don't play like 8 to 10 minute versions of Grateful Dead songs in general. We could if we wanted to, I guess, but we don't, so we don't fit in those, you know, little small boxes within bluegrass, but we're certainly not scared to, you know, ruffle a few feathers if we need to.
Nice.
I think we're going to go where the songs lead us. You know, I don't know what other new songs that we'll have. You know, somebody brings a song to the band and we'll play the way that we play it. And that seems kind of weird to say that, but,
yeah,
you know, we have a certain sound. I think that if we did play a Grateful Dead song, hopefully we would still sound like Wolfpin Branch. It wouldn't be trying to sound like somebody else. And that's the great thing, you know, going back to all the personalities of the band, is that everybody has their own personality and their own style. And I know that's something personally that I've worked on for years. I want to sound like me. When I sing, I want you to think, oh, that's, you know who that is, rather than, wait a second, he's singing a Del McCurry song. He's sounding like Del McCurry, but then he's singing a Tyler Childers song. Now he's trying to sound like Tyler. You know, I want to sound like me and have my own style, both vocally and with my instrument as well. And even playing mandolin, like, I don't sit down and listen to mandolin players and try to learn Sam Bush solos and other things. I kind of play the mandolin the way that I kind of hear it.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I didn't know.
I wasn't sure.
Arthur looked like he had something to add,
He just wants to be Red Allen and sing a big bluegrass song and blow up the preamp on the PA while he's singing. You know, he wants to sing it big and loud. That's what he wants. I mean, what's wrong with that?
I mean, when we're playing, on sometimes I'm like, are they laughing at me or are we laughing with each other?
Because we're having fun.
No, we get a few kicks out of on stage looking at each other, just because it is so daggone loud sometimes. It's like I jump in there to sing the harmony. And, you know, singing the, like, what we call baritone harmony, the lower harmony, with Chris's big loud voice on my right side and Arthur singing, belting even higher and louder on the left side. I'm like, dang, oh, I've got usually a pretty big loud voice, but trying to sing those lower parts, it's a challenge. So it's fun. And to address the point of, like, what the band sounds like, if we want to, like, we've got new songs that sound like old bluegrass. So, like, there's one that I wrote back in January that we're doing. It's called Burning the Midnight Oil. We do that one. It sounds like an old bluegrass song from the 70s or 80s. And
I heard that
and we sing it just like, we sing it just like a bluegrass band would have done that in the 70s or 80s. Like, so it's not, it doesn't, that's what I mean by we're not going to like go way out on a limb on every song and try to be, you know, the Newgrass Revival on every song, even though those guys were a huge influence on me in particular. But.
Nice. Yeah, no, I've heard that song. I think either just on a Facebook video or on one of the live streams, maybe. But anyway, real good.
Fine. Maybe we'll get that one in the can and get it recorded at some point.
Yeah, that'd be appreciated.
All right, boys.
Well, yeah.
Well, this is the blast.
Thanks for doing this.
One could call it fun. I guess before
the last one in there, yeah, better squeeze another one in for sure. Oh yeah,
before we head out, I don't know if you guys want to direct everybody to your social media pages and website. I know you guys got Instagram up and running.
Wolfpenbranch.com for the website, wolfpenbranch.com, and we're Wolfpen Branch on Facebook, and there's a Facebook group of like fans at the Wolfpen, three words, the Wolfpen, which is pretty cool. And then our Instagram is Wolfpen Branch as well. I think should be pretty easy to find.
Yeah, Wolfpen_Branch. Perfect.
I'm on the website right now.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah,
thank you guys.
And, we're looking forward to the reaction of everybody with the release of this first single, and beyond excited for everything else to come with Wolfpen Branch. And hopefully we can catch you at some shows this summer. We'll be down in that area, so hopefully the stars align and we'll get to catch you guys
they're,
live.
They're at Laurel Cove.
You're at Laurel Cove?
Yeah, we're doing Laurel Cove. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, we'll see you there. Well, the stars don't have to align. They're already aligned.
Right. Yeah, we'll see you there. Yeah.
Magic.
No, thank you guys for what you're doing, too. Like, in this time where our gigs are far and few between, and there's, you know, it's nice that they're low capacity crowds and we get to sell out a lot of shows because they're low capacity. But one of the major outlets to be able to share our music is through people like you guys, and radio folks and podcasters all over. So thanks for helping us spread the good word.
Absolutely.
Anytime. You guys are always welcome back. Arthur said his dream's that full album. So hopefully that, that'll happen. We have to get you back on for that. That's like a crashing.
Jeez. All right. Well, yeah, once again, thanks so much, you guys. Too bad the other two couldn't have made her, but, I guess, maybe next time we'll do another one at Laurel Cove, maybe or something like
that. Yeah, no kidding.
But it might be fun. But anyway, thanks so much for everybody out there who tuned into the podcast today. We appreciate you guys listening. And like he said, go give Wolfpen Branch a follow on all of the social medias and check out the website. Buy a t-shirt. I don't know where you guys, I didn't see on there, but where, you know, go find a way to buy a t-shirt anyhow.
Yeah.
And thanks for tuning in, and Mike and I will catch you guys next time.